Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 13 for September 1st, 2007. Megan's roommate. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. Jumping Monkeys, episode 13, unlucky 13. Here she is, the monkey lady herself, Megan Maroney. You know, people probably don't know why. Well, actually, you should correct me. One of the reasons I think you talk about monkeys is because of your nephew.
Who's a monkey?
Yes. You don't remember that, do you?
No.
This was on the screensavers a long time ago. I don't know. I was one of those cases where I said something I really regretted later, but I think
you said he looked like a monkey. I do. How do you remember? That's funny that you remember it because you obviously felt bad afterwards.
Felt really
and
bad.
I obviously didn't.
We got a lot of mileage out of it. That's probably why I really felt bad. It went on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe that was where Jumping Monkeys came from.
Oh, I just love
monkeys.
You always
liked monkeys.
I've always loved monkeys. They're so cute.
And that's probably why I thought, like, I made a joke about him looking like a monkey because I knew you loved monkeys.
Yes.
He didn't really look like a monkey.
No, and he doesn't anymore. He's
like 15
eight,
now.
Seven.
He's seven.
Seven, yeah.
I was thinking how fast that 6 years we did Tech TV went. You weren't even there 6 years, but it went very quickly.
No, I was there, I don't know, 4 years or something. It seemed like 12
long,
years.
Long time. Long, long time. So coming up in just a bit, we're going to interview Misty Ushio.
Mm-hmm. Ushio. Mm-hmm.
Who is your roommate?
Yes, she was one of my college roommates.
That's so neat.
Yes, but she...
We're going to get some dirt out of her.
Yeah, she's also a scientist. She's way smarter than we are.
She's into nanotech.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is really cool. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And she's now at a venture company, Harris & Harris, that specializes in nano machines, which is a fascinating field.
Yeah.
You know, I know a number of people who... I have a good friend who is a doctor in France. And is now working as a biotech VC.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense that if you're going to be investing money, you should have people who are trained in that field to help you.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's totally true.
I mean, if you're
yeah.
a banker, how would you know what nanotech you should invest
right,
in?
Exactly.
You need some experts.
Yeah, they totally scooped her up. She was at Columbia before that.
Yeah. Cool.
They got her. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's coming up in just a bit. But first, our links.
Yeah.
Spend, save, buy, give.
Spend, save, give.
Yes.
You always try to add an
add
extra
a few
in
buys.
There, like, buy. Like,
as if spend is not enough.
Yeah. This is the first. I found this on the Cookie Magazine Daily Find. And I was really excited to see this. Baby Bear, Baby Bear is the newest addition to Eric Carle's series. Do you remember Brown Bear?
No, you know, the Eric Carle, we was the little baby caterpillar who turned into a butterfly.
Oh, yeah. That was the book that George Bush said that was his favorite book growing up. And then it was published in 1973.
Yeah. Thanks, George. That was senior. That was dad. Or was it baby?
I think it was baby.
Maybe he liked it when he was in college.
Maybe, yeah.
But the, what was it called? The little cat, the hungry little caterpillar?
Yes.
What a good book.
Yeah.
And he does, it looks like, and I don't know how he's doing it, but it looks like his illustrations are cutouts.
Mm-hmm.
They're beautiful.
Yeah,
I really
don't know
like
how he does
stuff.
It. Yeah, it's collage and,
yeah
Brown Bear.
So there was a series, there's a new series, he's doing bears now.
Well, you didn't read Brown Bear when you were...
After our time.
No, it's the 40th anniversary edition.
It is?
Your children are not 40.
They're not?
No.
So you're saying the hungry little caterpillar came after Brown Bear?
Yeah.
Dang.
Well, unless Cookie Magazine is lying to me, but I think they would. Brown Bear, Polar Bear. And I actually don't know.
Oh, you know what? Here's the confusion.
Yes.
Eric Carle.
Mm-hmm.
Is not the originator of Brown Bear. Bill Martin Jr.
Yes.
is. So the original Brown Bear, What Do You See? And Chicka Chicka Boom Boom.
Okay, yes.
Are old, but Eric Carle is more recent.
Yeah, Eric Carle is the illustrator.
Yeah.
Bill Martin Jr. is
that's
the
it.
Writer.
So Eric Carle did The Very Hungry Caterpillar all by himself.
Yes, that's true.
But,
well, I don't know if it's true,
so
actually.
We didn't, so, yeah, no,
clearly,
it is.
I don't know
you
anything.
Know, he wrote it all. He did it, wrote and illustrated that. But in this case, he's the illustrator on The Brown Bear series.
Yeah, and those are very popular books.
You know,
in
we
our
missed
house.
Those. I don't really? Know how we missed those.
That's funny. Yeah, they're board books, make perfect shower gifts.
We should explain for people who don't have children that a board book doesn't mean the child is bored. They're made out of board so the kids can't tear the pages.
Yeah, yeah.
They're heavy cardboard. Mm-hmm.
They can put them in their mouths and it takes like an hour in the mouth.
We went through three or four Goodnight Moons until we found the board book version because Abby would just
tear out the pages. Yeah, yeah. I love the board books.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think these books are great. The big ones for like a, you know, a two or three-year-old birthday gift. Highly recommend.
So this is a new one. It's called Baby Bear, Baby Bear. What do you see?
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe you didn't read these. Oh, what about to eat me?
I bet a lot of listeners could recite Brown Bear, Brown Bear.
Let's hear it.
Or Polar Bear. Brown Bear, Brown Bear, what do you see? I see a lion looking at me. Lion, lion, what do you see? And it goes on from there.
Oh, I love that. I love the way that children's books are so, baby books are so simple. And they have a nice repetitive rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can read them in that rhythm. And the kids, that's what kids really like.
Right.
I remember interviewing Robin McNeil of the McNeil Lehrer Report, who has passed away since, but was one of the great journalists and a really wonderful writer. And I asked him what inspired him, how he became a writer. He said, when I was a kid, my parents read me Robert Louis Stevenson's A Child Garden of Verses. And the rhythm of the language, not the words, but because when you're really little, you don't necessarily even understand the words, especially for that.
Yeah.
But the rhythm of the language gave him this love for language that he carried with him through his entire life.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's why Dr. Seuss is so popular,
yes,
I think. Yeah.
Yes, it's a rhythm.
Yeah, because I definitely feel like there's some books, children's books, that are just not good.
They're prosy.
You think, how hard would it be to write a children's book? Mm. But there's some that just...
Well, it's like, how hard would it be to paint a great painting with red, white, red, green, and blue with the primary colors?
Exactly.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Okay. Instant classic. Big Bear, Baby Bear.
Baby Bear.
Baby Bear. What do you see?
Okay. Ready to save? Now, this was recommended by Josh Nelson, who actually said he heard about it from you, I think. Genie? It's a family tree.
Oh, yeah. Amber and I talked about this on Net at Night. This is, in fact, I set up a Genie.
You did?
Yeah.
You have one?
Yeah.
So what this is a family tree software, and it's free. That's why it's in the save section.
It's a very Web 2.0 family tree
software. Yeah, it's really cool. You just enter the information, you know, your mom, your dad, you could do it for like, you could social network with your family, right? Like you could get everybody on there.
I sent it to my mom and she filled in a whole bunch of it.
She did?
Yeah. Oh.
Now, do your kids have to do family trees in school? Have they done that?
Or is that not
something they do?
They might not do that anymore.
Really?
Well, maybe when they were really little, they did it.
Yeah.
But you don't go very far. I mean, you know, my mommy, my daddy, my grandma, my grandpa, and that's pretty much it.
Do you know? So were you interested in the ones that your mom filled out? Were they different than what you knew?
I'm trying to log in. I can't remember my password because it's been I haven't checked since mom filled in some stuff. But I imagine she put a lot in. And what I should do is now send this to other members of my family, right?
Mm-hmm. I think it's just interesting to show your kids once they get to be an age, like, you know, about their grandparents and great-grandparents and where they came from. And I think it's fascinating.
Is it true in your family that there's one person or two people who really do this? We, in our family, my Aunt Ginny did it extensively on my mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
And in Jennifer's family, her cousin does it right now and has done a lot. She actually does family reunions and everything. She's really into the genealogy.
Yeah, I think there is really just one person.
And Auntie Dawn used to do it too. I remember Auntie Dawn.
Yeah, we definitely, I think my mom's side of the family, I know a lot more about where they came from than my dad's.
It's nice when somebody does that. It's not, you know, I see how people get into it. I've never had the patience, but if you get into it, it's a great detective story. You go to Utah to go to the Mormon library. Sometimes there's a lot of genealogy there. Now you can use a computer to do a lot of this.
Right, yeah.
But this Genie's neat, GINI.com, because you kind of, it's community sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
You get everybody in your family, a relative sourcing to do this.
Yeah. I found it fascinating.
Yeah. Very easy to use. And boy, they've grown since I talked about them last. 5 million profiles.
Wow.
Yeah. That's neat.
Yeah. All right, so now we're getting to the give section. I wanted to talk about this because our guest, Misty, is from New York City, and this is just a New York City organization, although I'm sure in other places they have similar organizations. It's called Baby Buggy, and it's babybuggy.org, and they're dedicated to giving baby gear to parents in need.
Great idea.
So if you have, we've talked about this before, you just end up with so much big plastic stuff that you feel like you use for a minute.
And if you don't have a neighbor or a sibling that has kids younger than yours, what are you going to do with it?
Right. So you can call them and they'll organize a pickup of your old stuff and they'll give it, they'll do everything else. They'll find someone who needs it. And
so it's not just baby buggies, it's everything.
Yes. It's, yeah.
Would it be, if you asked, could you get some rubber baby buggy bumpers? If you asked?
Yes.
Excuse me, do you have rubber baby buggy bumpers? What? Do you have rubber baby buggy bumpers? Could you, do I have rubber booby bobby? Wouldn't that be fun? I'm just thinking prank calls. I'm too scared to do prank calls.
You should definitely prank call this organization.
Every charity.
That is working very hard.
The poor volunteers. Just have a few hours to get this done, and you're
please
calling up.
Please do not try
jokes.
This at home.
Does Baba Booey have rubber baby buggy bumpers? Sorry. I'm sorry. Just, you know, if on my gravestone, would you put the word irrepressible?
Yes, I will.
Instead of, you know, poor impulse control or something. Just irrepressible. But
yes.
The irrepressible Leo Laporte.
Yes.
Thank you.
So that's our spend, save, give segment. If you have any suggestions of ways to save money or ways to spend your money or ways to give back, send them to Megan at twit.tv.
Are you getting mail at that address?
Oh, yeah, tons.
I think I ask you this every time.
You do.
It's working, right?
I'm not getting mail from you.
I'm
but
paranoid.
I'm getting...
No, I don't answer my email. You know, that's well known.
That's true. That's not true, actually. I got several. Must have been a slow week for you this week because I got several emails from you.
Sometimes, you know, it's so discouraging. Look, I'll just show you. Here's my inbox.
Yeah.
See all the ones that say today? Those came in today. That's like, you know, a lot.
That is a lot.
And everybody wants something.
Yeah.
I've already answered 100.
Do you have filters where it goes to folders and stuff?
Yeah, this is the stuff that wasn't filtered. That's not like news groups or, I mean, you know, newsletters and not from work. This is, you know, just, I should make a Megan folder.
Yeah.
I have a work folder.
Yeah.
Duh.
You should just make a monkey folder and I'll be sure to add the word monkey in every.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it says monkey, I'll forward it to a very special place.
Yeah. I probably get like 1/1000th as much email as you do, but.
It makes me sad because I want to answer all this mail.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I wouldn't be able to do anything else like podcasts.
Right.
And then people would stop writing me.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that would work.
Mm.
If I just answered all my mail and stopped doing all this other stuff I'm doing, then I wouldn't get any more mail.
Do you ever think about the people you do respond to and then they don't respond back to you?
No, I don't want them to respond back. It's fine.
Do you have that in your signature? Please do not respond back.
No, a lot of people do that. They say,
one per customer,
no reply
please.
Necessary or NRN, they'll put it in the subject.
Yeah.
Understand that if I respond to you, don't feel obligated to say thank you or respond back.
Yeah.
I'm not really keeping track. Honest. I'm just glad that, you know, I was able to respond to you. That to me is a huge victory.
Yeah.
All
right. So I think
it's time.
It's time.
You know, we want to thank the folks at audible.com who are, I'm very pleased to say, going to stick around with us.
Oh, great.
Yeah. They're just happy as could be. And I'm not surprised because I'm just an Audible fan and I've wanted to get them on my radio show and the podcast for years. Because I believe in Audible. Audible is audiobooks, audible.com. You sign up and you get a certain number of credits a month to buy books, depending on what program you sign up to. There are all kinds of books. I think I just read the other day, it's something like 35,000 different books.
Wow.
In all different categories. They support over 200 different devices, too. And that's, you know, you could listen to Audible on your computer, but really the whole idea of Audible is that you put it on your portable device. Now, a lot of people say, well, iPod. Well, of course, iPod, but not just iPods. I mean, just tons of, what was the number? 230 different audio devices, including many phones. You can even listen on your cell phone and download wirelessly.
Yeah, I actually have a letter I'm going to read later in the show from a librarian who recommends a device that she uses.
What a great way to read. Anyway, I get almost all my reading done now is by Audible. Right now I'm reading an Anne Rice novel.
Ooh.
I like spooky.
Yeah.
She's good at spooky.
Does she read them? Is she the
No.
reader?
And you know, now some people disagree with me on this. I like when actors, professionals read them.
Mm.
Some people, like Paul Theroux, who does our Windows Weekly podcast, he says he likes to hear the authors read, but usually I find authors are not the best readers.
Mm.
So I look for somebody who's really a pro.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got a book. Let's get our book recommendation, because it's because of our, like, our little book club.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. This is for you to download next month. Atonement by Ian McEwan. This is a novel. It's one of my favorite novels of all time. Have you read
it? I started this novel.
Really? Listening or reading?
Both. No, I've never listened. You know what? I should listen to it, because I've started it by in paper. It's still on my, you know, bedside table.
Uh-huh.
That's the one where it starts with the fountain.
Yep.
Yep.
And the girl.
And the girl in the fountain.
Doing the play.
And I love it. And I think he's a wonderful writer. I know this is considered one of the greatest books of the last century. And I just, for some reason, it just doesn't grab me. Does it get better? It's not that it's not good.
I didn't think it started out bad, so.
It's not that it's not good.
Great.
It starts
it's
out very well.
It's a compelling story. And I don't know, maybe it's a girl thing. We've talked about gender
Could
differences
be.
In the past.
My wife loves this. Ian McEwan is considered by many to be the greatest author of our generation. Book Sense Book of the Year Award finalist for adult fiction in 2003. Jill Tanner reads it. I'll play a little bit. You know, why don't I just play a little
bit? Yeah.
Because Jill is a pro. And you'll hear how
she took her daughter in her arms onto her lap. Ah, that hot, smooth little body she remembered from its infancy and still not gone from her. Not quite yet. And said that the play was stupendous. And agreed instantly, murmuring into the tight whirl of the girl's ear, that this word could be quoted on the poster, which was to be on an easel in the entrance hall by the ticket booth.
I love this whole story of the play. It's very funny. Yeah, all right, I'm going to have to get the book. I'll get the audiobook. A lot of times I'll try to read a book. I'll give you an example. Cold Mountain. Couldn't read.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to. Came alive.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, I prefer to listen to
really?
Than read. So that's one thing you might find that you love audio. I've fallen in love
with
audio
true.
Books.
Yeah. I'm reading Haruki Murakami's Kafka on the Shore for my book club, and he's very meta fiction, very. Mm-hmm. And I've tried and tried and tried, and then I just downloaded it from Audible and I'm listening to it. And it's good because I do both. I'm doing both because my
right.
book club's in 2 weeks. I know I won't finish it
Sometimes, exactly.
So now I've been listening to it in the car or when I'm running or at the gym. So
if you see me at the grocery store, I'll have the headphones in. Yeah. I'm listening to a book.
You can also, do you know you could listen to them faster?
I did.
Yeah.
Isn't that neat? The iPod lets you speed it up. Now, have you tried it?
I did try. I didn't like it. But I thought, it's not. You can still understand, but it just seems.
You comprehend faster. Probably a nonfiction book would be all right.
Maybe.
I like to savor.
Yeah.
Savor the words.
Are you a speed reader?
No.
Oh, okay.
Abby is. Abby will read a couple of books a day.
Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
I just wonder how much of it she gets. I like to read it at a stately pace. So Atonement is our book by Ian McEwan. I'll put a link in the show notes. But believe me, any of the 35,000 volumes available at audible.com are going to be well worth it. Something for everybody in every genre. And somebody mentioned this, and I really want to underscore this. Audible also does this great kind of pro bono stuff. They frequently have free downloads, like the 911 Commission report, the presidential debates. There's a lot of stuff on Audible that's free. And you can catch up on your current events. They also have lectures. They have radio shows. It's more than just books. audible.com/monkeys. And if you join today, you get a credit towards a free book. Could be Atonement or any book in their list. And we do thank you so much for supporting us. Audible.com. Thank you. audible.com/monkeys. I like the book. We should have a little book club kind of
we
thing.
Should,
we should,
yeah.
Come back and talk about
it. Yeah.
Because you know what I found is a lot of our listeners read.
Mm-hmm.
They're a smart bunch, right? You know what, though? Babies are not as innocent as they pretend to be.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah, I was sent. Kyle sent me this story. It's not exactly new, but it's new to me. It's from the, where was it?
The Telegraph.
Oh, yeah, the Daily Telegraph. They've done some studies with kids saying they actually lie a lot younger than they thought. They did in the past.
That's why you teach them sign language. They can lie earlier.
Exactly.
Before they're verbal.
Yeah. They say until now, psychologists had thought that the developing brain were not capable of the difficult art of lying until 4 years old. But following studies of more than 50 children and interviews with parents, they found that deception begins between 6 months and 3 years old.
Even before they have language.
Yeah. I definitely believe that, because they say at the age of two, toddlers could use far more devious techniques, such as bluffing when threatened with punishment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've seen that.
Yeah.
We call it testing the limits.
Yeah.
But also fake crying and fake laughing, they say, to earn approval.
Yeah.
Wow. Concealing forbidden activities. Well, I did that my whole childhood. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Were you that kind of person, or were you a... there's two. I see this very clearly in kids. There's two kinds of kids. There's kids who will say, I didn't do it, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And there's kids who will immediately tell the truth.
Yeah.
Abby's a truth teller. Henry's an I didn't do it.
I think I'm a truth teller, but I don't know.
I think you are too.
Mom and dad.
No, I think you are too.
Yeah.
And I'm a liar.
Yeah. My kids are, they're truth tellers. Sometimes like Milo will say, I'm sorry. And I'll say, why are you sorry? And he says, because I'm going to hit you.
That's a little too scrupulous if you ask me. I'm about to hit you and I just want to apologize ahead of time for any injury this may cause. Wow. I'll have to try that.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can. Now, this is, of course, a great philosophical debate, but is this innate or is this inbred?
Yeah.
Can you teach a kid to be a truth teller or a liar?
That's a good question. Apparently not, according to this statement.
Yeah, I think it's genetic. I mean, I think it just seems to me that's just the way I make. I have to actively work at it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very valuable exercise, and I always like doing it when I tell the truth, but I have to work at it because normally I'll just make stuff up.
Yeah.
And my wife is complete opposite.
Mm.
And of course, that's a bone of contention too, because she'll say, well, wait a minute, you didn't have dinner. No, I said I had dinner. It was too complicated to say I hadn't had dinner and explain why I didn't have dinner.
Yeah.
And she doesn't understand that. She said, well, why don't you just say you didn't have dinner? Because it's too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah, I think in some sense it must be a survival instinct. You lie to protect yourself.
Yeah.
That's biological, I'm sure.
So that means my mom taught me, because I didn't want to get a whooping. I like this. I saw this on Digger somewhere, and I think this is really cool. Make your own pop-ups.
Yeah. I don't remember where I saw it. Maybe Boing Boing? I'm not sure.
Maybe it was Boing Boing, yeah.
Maybe, or maybe we already talked about it.
Hopefully no, we didn't talk about it.
Okay.
I did see it somewhere, and I thought, oh, what a neat thing.
Yeah, this is robertsabuda.com. It's pop-up cards you can make.
So you've seen those pop-up books.
Yeah.
This is like that.
Right. But you can make, it gives you the instructions on how to make them, like where to cut and how to cut. It's really cool.
Jennifer's birthday's coming out.
Oh, you're going to make her a pop-up heart card?
Pop-up heart card.
She would love
so
that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it involves glue. Can I tell her I made it and lost it?
No.
Oh.
You need to get yourself some glue.
Can I tell her? I'll tell her the truth. I thought about making it.
No, that's worse. That's much worse.
Can I say the dog ate it?
Yeah, no. This is a lesson to you. Don't ever tell your wife.
There's 18 steps. I thought it would be just like one or two steps.
No. Well, they're not easy, but they're, you know, you'll have a sense of accomplishment and she will appreciate it.
Or should I? Okay, it's her birthday. What should I do? Valentine pop-up, Valentine candy box.
Probably not the pig.
That's for the year of the pig, Chinese mm-hmm. New Year. Pop-up shark. Henry would like that.
Yeah.
His birthday's coming up. Birthday. I wonder how many steps the birthday cake pop. I mean, if the heart is 18 steps.
You could pay someone to do it for you, too.
I could just go to the store and buy one. Because they sell them now.
Yes, they do. But if you made it yourself, she'd appreciate it more, I think.
The birthday cake's 26 steps.
Now, what about the other one? Was 11 steps?
I forgot already.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have told you.
If you do it or don't do it, don't tell her you were going to do it if you don't do it. That's what I'm going to leave with
today. Mama Megan's teaching me. All right. You want to see this? This is actually pretty funny.
It is.
Mr. Rogers breakdancing.
Yeah, this is our next link.
Is this really from...
Hey, Jermaine.
Hey, Jermaine.
How are you?
Jermaine's got his box and his boom box and his cardboard box.
Where are you on your way to?
What year is this?
I'm going to practice some breaking with my friends.
Breakdancing with your friends.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like you to know my friends. This is Jermaine Vaughn. That's my television neighbor. Do you think you could stay a bit?
Sure.
Good. Well, maybe you'd show me how to do some breakdancing.
All right.
This is really cute.
It's really
this
for Mr. Rogers.
This is what you do it on.
This is such a good show.
Can I help you put it
down? Sure.
Do they still show reruns?
I don't know.
Now that he's passed away.
But I think they do.
Because I would rather have my kids watch this because it's calming and they, you know, they learn something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't need to watch it on TV when you have YouTube.
What is it that you like to do in breakdancing?
Well, I like to do waving.
Waving?
Uh-huh.
Well, show me how you do that.
All right. Just move the body.
Oh, he's good. Jermaine's good.
Yeah, he is.
Move it slowly.
Mr. Rogers also good.
Is he good?
Going the whole way through your body.
Let's see. Okay, do the wave, Mr. Rogers. Oh, look.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Rogers. Oh, my goodness.
Come back.
Okay.
I told you, worth the wait.
Worth the wait.
Mr.
That's
Rogers.
Really nice. What else do you like to do?
Oh, I interviewed him once.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Fred Rogers was a wonderful guy. His mom made every one of those sweaters, you know.
I think I did know that.
Every couple of years, he needed it.
Here he's doing the moonwalk.
I think it's hard. Let me just see you do it yourself, the moonwalk.
Isn't this sweet? He's not. What I love about him is just open and innocent. I always thought he was a very sweet guy. I was really impressed with him.
Since you were seven, he was 12
when
now,
I interviewed him. I'm trying to think. I think he had just gone back to the seminary, and I think he had just graduated. But a really sweet, wonderful guy, Mr. Yeah. So yeah. Good. We'll put that link in so you can watch him break dance.
Yeah,
does
it's
he
amazing.
Does he get down and do some moves later? Does he get on his back and spin around?
Jermaine does.
Jermaine's doing some good stuff. Mr. Rogers declines to that.
No.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how long they actually stay on each shot.
That's what I like. It's not, it's very relaxed. It's not Electric Company or the Sesame Street. It's not, it's just, you know, I love, that's what I like about
it. So, yeah.
Mr. Rogers' back is not so good. He shouldn't get down on the ground. But he could do the wave again.
Now you're not hearing the real Mr. Rogers.
I can do the wave. Look, I can do I can flip the bird. Can you flip the bird too? I thought you could.
Oh dear.
Danielle Steele, wait a minute. What is this? Play away, ready to go, audio.
That's for later. That's for our
is this a competitor
reader.
To Audible?
No. Okay. I don't know what that is. That's not one of our links.
Oh. I just
now
came
you're
up.
Just now you're just
going to get random links.
I think we should call Misty. What do you think?
Oh, Misty, I forgot we had a guest.
Yes. Misty, it works for Harris & Harris. I think we already said that. She is in nanotechnology. It's a venture capital firm. She's a scientist. She was my college roommate. And we have many stories that we agreed to not tell each other. So I'm not to tell you all. So we'll hopefully you won't be able to get any of those stories.
Rats.
Up there, so.
Hello, Misty. Welcome.
Do you want to start by telling us a little bit about your background, Misty?
My background, my educational background.
Sure, you could start there.
Okay. So actually where Megan and I met at Johns Hopkins University, I did a chemical engineering degree, and then from there went into a small biotech company, which I didn't stay at for very long, and ended up at Merck, where I was working in bioprocess research and development, which means we were developing the manufacturing processes for all the vaccines and antibiotics. And I should step back a little bit. When I was at Hopkins, while I was studying chemical engineering, I was working in a biochemistry lab. And back then, there wasn't really kind of biotechnology per se in the educational arena. And so it always seemed really interesting to me to be able to combine sort of the biochemistry, molecular biology that I was doing just sort of as a part-time job with the chemical engineering education that I was getting. And bioprocessing is really a great combination of this. So my time at Merck was very well spent in terms of, you know, really combining these two things that I enjoyed and learning about drug development and also working for a big company. They pay for a lot of your subsequent education. So I ended up getting a master's degree on them, and also they paid for my PhD, which ended up being in biochemical engineering, which is more related to fermentation, so making products.
You
from
make
bacteria.
Beer.
Yeah, I used to say I babysat bacteria all day, which is pretty much what it was. So,
do they make drugs by fermentation?
Yeah. So, most of the antibiotics you take are made via fermentation. I mean, so the bacteria will make the antibiotic, and then it'll go through and get purified. But bacteria have a pretty sophisticated chemical synthesis way to make antibiotics, and most of the really potent ones are made from bacteria.
Oh,
it's actually
damn.
Hard to make them. It's hard to duplicate from a chemical synthesis point of view.
Huh. So, I mean, I knew it started with mold, but I didn't realize it was
right. So penicillin back
right.
to the
right.
The
wow, that's amazing.
Life-saving drug.
But you're not making drugs anymore.
No, so I'm not doing that anymore.
You got out of the drug-making business.
Just in terms of background. And then I actually spent a year in Columbia, at Columbia University, doing technology transfer. I mean, I decided I didn't want to, you know, specialize more and more and more, which is really what was happening at Merck, and wanted to be at more the interface of technology and business. And so moved into technology transfer at Columbia University, which... you know, trying to understand what what exciting new inventions are coming out of the university and trying to commercialize that. And I was working on the nanotechnology portfolio, and through that met the people at Harris & Harris, where I am now, which is a venture capital group that invests in nanotechnology. And I'm really, you know, focusing on the intersection of nanotechnology and biotechnology and medicine.
But lest you think you've just turned into Futures in Biotech or a podcast about this subject, you are a parent also.
I am a parent. I have a two-year-old. Well, he's more than two now, 2 and 3 months.
Now you can try all those fun drugs you were making.
Well, I was going to say, Megan's like, you know, what's it like being a scientist and a mom? I'm like, well, you know, pretty much the same thing, except, you know, all the experiments we do on our kids.
That's right. It's in vivo experimentation now. Yeah.
So do you think about the mold when you give him antibiotics?
Well, I think we have, so my husband's also a scientist, so I think we just have a better handle on, well, maybe not a better handle on, but maybe like a comfort level with stuff. So
yeah.
And do you let your kids eat dirt or not?
Yes.
See?
I'm a fan of you have to build up your immune system.
I told you. I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it.
Dr. Misty says you have to build up your immune system.
And that's that he's like never been sick.
See?
He's had like maybe one ear infection and that's it.
Wow.
Kids need to be hardy. They can't be protected from their
No, I think there's something to be said about, you know, developing a healthy immune system early on. I mean, I'm not talking like at week two. I didn't take him on the subway until, you know, he was at least 3 months old.
Yeah. So he rides the subway and everything.
Oh yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, life in New York is a whole, you know, is like a whole nother episode.
Kids, I mean, I always thought, and we talked about this last time, kids who were brought up in cities were just different. They're more sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know about animals. Except dogs, Pomeranians.
He was freaked out by grass for a long time.
Yeah, sure. Of course he was. What's that, mommy? What's that out of the concrete?
It feels weird. I don't want to step on that.
Isn't that
it's like
funny?
Prickly stuff. And sand as well, but now he's into sand.
On the other hand, bebop and jazz, he's really comfortable with. So there you go.
So what was harder, getting your PhD or having a baby?
Having a baby.
But it's quicker.
Yes, in my case, it was quicker. It's quicker, yeah. It's, you know, but that said, it's all relative. And I have to say, this is a good Megan story. So when Clay was 4 months old, I think Megan's twins were, I think they're a month older, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I went to go visit my parents in Hawaii. And, you know, my husband came out with me, but he had to go back for work. And I was like, no problem. You know, I'll go back by myself. And you know what? I'm going to stop in California on my way back home and visit some friends. And so, you know, I get off the plane. It's like 6 a.m. in the morning. And I'm like, I have this baby and I have to get our luggage. And then I rented a car. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so complicated. And then I have to drive for an hour. And by the way, I don't have a car. Like, I haven't had a car.
No,
for like
you're in New York.
7 years. So the whole just getting a car is sort of a drama for me. So I'm like, oh, wow, you know, this is so complicated. You know, what happened to the days of just having a backpack and getting on the bus? And then I arrive at Megan's and like there's the twins who are, you know, Clay's age and then Annabella. And I was like, oh, my God, my life is so easy. I have no problems. All I have to do is worry about this one little guy. So I think when things get rough, it's always good to put things in perspective.
Yeah, that's one of my talents.
Do you remember that? It's like,
I do.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of my talents, definitely, making other people feel better about their lives and how much they have to do.
It is so relative, and it's funny because I was talking to another mother of twins. One of our neighbors has, she had twins and then had another child, which is, there's no accounting for that. But for some reason, she did that, and she says she looks like parents of single, of individual one child, and says, well, you know, what's the problem?
Yeah,
this looks easy, but it wasn't easy for us when it was just one child. So I know how hard you're working.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being a single parent. I mean, those women, I give like so much credit to. I think that's you know, logistics must be difficult.
But you're also got a full time career too. I mean, you're working hard, and your husband's working hard.
Yeah. So he's a professor. He works a lot. But, you know, I have to say, like, while technology and everything is very helpful and we can get into that, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's the human factor that really makes at least my life work and be, you know, sort of manageable and under control. And I think that really just comes, you know, comes from kind of three different sources. One is, you know, my husband being very busy as a professor is also very flexible and, you know, flexible and willing to really pick up half the share of the work. And that makes things much better. So I don't always feel like I have to rush home or I'm always the one having to, you know, deal with, you know, interfacing with whatever. And, you know, and then the other part of that is you know, we have a great nanny for Clay, and that's key. So when I'm at work, I don't worry about him. If I was stressed out about that, I mean, that would be very difficult.
Don't go see the Nanny Diaries, though, when that comes out, because you'll find out what your nanny's been
thinking. I read the book.
Yeah. You're not that kind. You're not Mrs. X.
No, definitely not. I know. I mean, and I think a couple books came out recently. I haven't read them, but we're sort of in contrast to the Nanny Diary sort of persona, but the idea of, like, as a, you know, kind of a regular working mom and having a nanny and sort of how much of, you know, your salary goes to this person and how you kind of balance sort of financially versus the opportunity and sort of the desire to work. And how do you, you know, I have friends, you know, they don't actually make any money. All of their money goes to childcare, but yet they want to work. And so, you know, how do you balance that? And as they think about having two kids and it becomes, you know, you're sort of like losing money, you know, how do you kind of work that out?
Well, speaking as a parent of a teen, no matter how much money you make, it all goes to the teens anyway. So it's just, you're a cash machine.
That would be a whole other world.
Yeah. You're just a cash machine. You know.
Oh, you know, I thought it was hilarious. I think I listened to your first introductory podcast about the spend save, mm-hmm. and how, Leo, you were like, yeah, whatever. Like, I just give them money as they come.
It's all give.
It's a great idea. I give you all the credit for the idea. Yeah. But in reality, this is the way it works.
Yeah. Well, this is how, hilarious. For me, because I'm lazy. I can't, you know, but I wish I could say, all right, son, take that $20 I gave you and put one third of it towards charity, one third of it towards savings. He'd say, okay, well, can you give me another $40 then? Because.
Right. Because I need that one third.
I need to spend 20.
Yeah. That's so true. So do most of your friends in Manhattan have the same situation that you do?
Yeah, I think most of the friends that have remained my friends. No, I'm just kidding. I think that's part of it, is having a good support group and understanding that, you know, and having friends and seeing how they're dealing with it and people are struggling with the same issues. And in fact, when I was on maternity leave, I met two great women kind of at this new moms group. And, you know, honestly, without them, it would have been really hard to sort of go through, you know, how do you transition back to work? How do you find the appropriate childcare? Because we're all doing it at the same time. So that's, if I were doing that by myself, I think that would have been really, really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. The business that you're in is so future oriented. All this mm-hmm. nanotech and MEMS and all this stuff is so much about what life is going to be like in 20, 30 years. Do you look at Clay sometimes and think, gee, what a world he's going to be entering? What a different time.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I don't think about it. I mean, I think about it at work, but I don't think about it too much at home. But now that you bring it up, I think, yeah, I can't imagine it. Maybe it's that I don't have the bandwidth sometimes to think. It's more like what's going on a day-to-day basis and how to sort of get through the next phase. But, you know, when I think about, like, education and what people are going through now to get into college and sort of, you know, what kind of resources are out there, I mean, it is like, amazing, like, how different things change, you know, how things change so fast.
When he, in 20 years, when he's going to college, there'll be 100 million people competing for the same five slots. So get ready. I couldn't believe it. You know, so when I went to college, relatively, this, you guys are younger than me, but it was relatively easy to get in. I know, because I got in. And now I think about, I mean, there's so many more people competing for the same number of positions. It's very competitive.
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, I see these people who are going to Columbia and who want research jobs. I mean, they already have, like, papers written from when they were in high school. Like,
yeah.
What? Are you serious? Are, like, these? Where do you even get that opportunity?
Who are these people? Thank goodness they weren't around when I was in school.
I know. Thank God for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So I think that's often the case of technologists, and it's probably really true for biotech and nanotechnologists. They're not really projecting real far out in the future. You're solving problems day to day, and you don't really think about what's going to happen as a result of all these amazing inventions that you've
done.
No,
I mean, we definitely think about it, and we definitely think about, you know, what's going to be that big improvement? What's going to make, you know, everything that much easier, that much faster, that much cheaper? You know, what's the technology that's disruptive? And that's constantly what we're looking for. And it's interesting. I mean, this is still early days for me in venture capital, but you know, establishing relationships with the universities and what people are doing and even monitoring it that early on and identifying those people who are really looking at the future and looking at the technology of the future and getting excited about that and saying, yes, you know, we'll invest money to make this happen is pretty cool.
What are you doing with Clay to prepare him for this future?
I'm just trying to get him into preschool.
So is that kind of your second full-time job, getting him into preschool?
Yeah, well, actually, we're done with that.
Oh.
You know, because it's a year process here in New York. There are things in New York that are totally crazy, but this is one of them.
So he's in.
Yeah, he's in. He starts in like 2 weeks.
Did you get in the school you wanted?
Yeah, yeah. It was lucky. I mean, we live in a neighborhood where it isn't as competitive, but you know, at the same time, there are no options where you don't have to apply a year in advance. So even to go to the crappy one, you have to apply a year in advance.
A year's not that bad.
No?
I'd heard that you had to apply at birth, so a year isn't
that bad. Well, no, I think in other neighborhoods.
Yeah.
In my neighborhood, a year. So maybe that's reasonable. To me, that's not reasonable. But you know, you just kind of have to do what you have to do. It's kind of crazy. And I mean, I grew up in the ultimate, like, suburbia America, and so you know, thinking about raising a kid in the city is, you know, it's great. I love it. But there are, you know, sometimes I feel just a little unprepared and have to do a lot of research to get up to speed on what's going on.
How far ahead did you have to apply to get Annabella into preschool?
Like a month or two.
Oh my God.
I think I told him your name, Leo, and they
just
were
walked
like, oh,
up
yeah.
and said, hey, is there any room tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem. Come on in. And you were in a great preschool. I won't say the name, but it's such a wonderful. It's the same one our kids went
yeah.
to.
Yeah, really. Seriously, I really did drop your name, and then she was like, "Okay."
Carolyn knows us.
Yes.
In fact, this is so cool. My son just graduated from sixth grade, and Carolyn, the preschool teacher, came to the graduation because she had four or five preschoolers that she had watched, and now we're graduating from sixth grade.
That's so nice.
She wanted to be there for
yeah.
that.
Yeah,
isn't that
she had.
Sweet?
They had their picture up.
So it makes me cry a little bit. I mean, it's very touching.
So does this make you want to move to a small town, Misty?
No, I'm still not. You know, ask me again in a year after we go through this preschool process. But I think, I mean, he's only going like 2.5 hours a day for a couple of days a week this year. So it'll just be, you know, part-time.
It's actually, preschool maybe is not so hard as when you get to elementary school, junior high, and high school. Then it's going to, right? Then you have to really kind of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not even thinking about that. I know. I mean, as, you know, I'd like to be sort of projecting into the future with on that end of my life, it's very much day to day, and maybe that's how I compensate.
Yeah. So what tiny tech does your son get into at all? Tinytech.com, you know, is their website.
Yeah, it's our website.
I love that. That's such a great TinyTechVC, I guess.
It reminds me of just tiny little computers.
They are. They're MEMS. They're micromechanical machines. Tiny little, you know, blood platelet-sized machines.
But it reminds me of one, like, you know, that's shaped like a MacBook or something that you could fit in your hand.
Oh, that'd be cool.
No, because it'd be hard to press the buttons, right?
I think it's called an iPhone.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So does he
I know,
use
but hard
the computer-
enough time with my PDA.
So does he use the computer yet?
He's getting more into it. Do your kids?
They bang on the keys.
Yeah, he's into banging on the keys. And I've tried to, you know, get him to type the letters in and then recognize that it's coming up on the screen. You know, so he can say like, oh, A. But sometimes I don't know if he gets that. And then there's like some websites that we like to play with, like the Thomas the Trains and some of the Disney ones. And there's another one that I can't remember the name of it, but I think it was like from Australia or New Zealand. And they're like these characters and they have songs. And yeah, he's into that. But I was wondering about those, you know, the other keyboards for kids and to simplify. Have you use those or
I haven't
know anyone
used
those. Has?
I know people who've used them and they fit over the keyboard and the letters are really big.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've known people that really like those. We haven't gotten it yet.
Yeah.
They have busy boxes now. I mean, they don't do busy boxes anymore. They look like computers now, right?
Right. Yeah.
Do they have busy boxes too?
I don't know what busy boxes are.
Like there's this big box and you play with all the
things. Yeah, it has
on
a door that opens and a little thing that comes out and you turn a wheel and it goes rah, rah.
But it has nothing to do with the computer.
It has nothing to do with the computer. No.
Sort of like those blocks where you have like the counting on the one side and then the little
kind of
blocks
yeah, but it's a whole around. It's a whole like dashboard of little things you can do for it's for your kids' age.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of got they were big when my kids were two or three. And I think they've kind of gotten phased out and now they kind of are hooked up to a computer, hard to believe. And they do stuff.
No, that sounds cool though. I mean, it's funny. I mean, Clay's really into more the macro, not the nano. I mean, he'll take out like the screwdriver and go try to unscrew the screws. And we bought him this this like cool easel, but the wing nuts are colored, and so all he wants to do is unscrew them, and then he takes the whole thing apart.
Oh
it's
yeah.
Like, oh, we really need to put it back together. And I think, you know, maybe I should just buy him one of those tool bench things that, you know, I guess where the point is to to put things in there. Right. I don't know, he seems really into that right now.
Yeah, our kids, our boys did the exact same thing with our easel when we got it. Yeah.
Took it apart.
Yeah, well, they just wanted to unscrew it. And it's funny, like you're trying to push art on them and they're really just interested in like taking it apart. And
and he could do that like for hours, just take all the screws out and then put them all back in.
Yeah.
Gross motor skills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We boys are good at those things.
It's funny. But, and like, Megan, do you see like a huge difference between girls and boys?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. Not necessarily. Yeah, with toys and everything. Yeah, definitely. Is Clay a hitter? That's what we're dealing with.
No, but are they totally into wheels? Like anything with a wheel?
Yes.
Wheels and balls.
Yeah, fire trucks, trains.
Do they do the balls?
They're not really that into balls.
Henry, no. Henry just immediately gravitated towards balls, throwing balls, catching balls. And Abby had no interest in that at all. But trucks, yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing that fascinates me is before having a child, I never would have said
it seems so
there's
sexist.
Something inherent about boys and girls. I would have said, oh, you know, it's environment or whatever. Right. But now I really, you know, there's something fundamentally different. And honestly, I feel like I understand like men a lot better.
Yeah, because we really aren't any different than that 2-year-old,
frankly.
It's
true. It's true. There's like, you know, it's very focused. It's actually very clear. Either you're really upset about something or you're really happy. There's not this whole like gray area.
No gray area.
Like, oh, you know what? This is really interesting. Like, I feel like I have all this insight.
Yeah,
that all makes sense.
I think it's true.
Yeah,
our sons are the men we've paid the most attention to in our
entire
now
life. That you're finally paying attention, you see that it's very simple.
Right, I look at my husband, I'm like, oh my god, like I get it now.
It's basically an on-off switch. That's all it is. It's nothing more than that. Very straightforward.
So I think it would be fascinating to have a girl, you know, and a boy be able to really hone in on all of that data.
Yeah.
And of course, there are exceptions. There are plenty of girls who...
This is true.
...who like to play with balls and flip switches and so forth.
Yeah. But, I had model, like, cars. I don't know why my parents bought me those, but I guess they were forcing the engineering on me.
Ah, see, it worked.
Yeah. Right.
It worked. You did it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it was
fun. All right, last chance to share any college stories about
Megan. College stories. Yeah. Well, can I just say one other, like, just technology, not even technology, but just a website thing.
Yeah.
Do you guys have, like, Fresh Direct out there?
Fresh Direct.
It's like a online groceries.
Oh, how nice.
This is the best thing ever, just in terms of life simplification. You go to the website, you order your food, and it shows up in a designated time frame.
Wow. So you do that for all your groceries? You never go grocery shopping?
I mean, I sometimes go grocery, like, especially, you know, maybe stuff for fish or some produce, but but for everything else, it's great.
I think that's in New York, right? Because
it's so easy to do
in an urban setting.
Yeah, you kind of need the density.
Yeah, we have to make like Safeway.com.
We have Peapod,
does that.
The old Peapod.
Yeah.
Let me see if Fresh Direct serves our area. Sorry, not available in your area. We currently serve the New York metropolitan area.
Well, so for your listeners in New York, I'm sure they already use Fresh Direct there. It's pretty much
everyone
pretty
does.
Much it.
Well, for someone who's just, we have a lot of listeners who are pregnant or, you know, just have infants and they
Love
might not
idea.
Have figured that out.
Yeah.
It's the best. It's a huge help and it's good quality, and it just means one less thing you have to worry about.
Yeah, that's an excellent Megan college story. I really liked that one.
I'm trying to save you from
I'm impressed.
The only thing is I don't want any of my stories told.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be considerate.
Here's the thing. She has much worse stories than I do. So she knows.
Hey.
Uh-huh.
I was studying the whole time.
Yes. Yeah.
While you writing sums, people were off partying.
Yeah, yeah, that was the thing. We lived in a house with six of us?
There were six of us.
Yeah, six women, and most of them were scientists. Mostly everyone was smarter
really?
Than I
that's
was.
Neat.
The other one, was it? No, well, me and
Allison. That's because it was Johns Hopkins, though, right?
I mean, well, I guess Erin wasn't a scientist. She is now.
No,
but
she wasn't
at the time.
Then.
Yeah, it rubbed off on her.
And same with Liz. Liz wasn't a scientist.
That's
then.
True.
Isn't
I guess,
that weird?
Yeah. No, they weren't, But everyone
then,
got their...
Yeah. No, I always felt like, oh, we got stuck having to, like, do all these homework assignments all the time. It was like, horrible.
Meanwhile, I was writing short stories. And
Not that you didn't do anything.
I wish I were a tree and I would have leaves.
And I was telling someone about our road trip the other day, the big one through New Orleans. Where we dropped you off in Texas.
Yeah.
And then we drove to Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm. We drove from Baltimore to Houston through New Orleans. And we have some stories then.
There's some good stories from that.
Yeah.
That's another day.
Yeah, those were the days.
Sometimes I forget about those kinds of things.
And that's, I think, the whole idea. The human body forgets about all that stuff.
Exactly.
Good thing.
Self-preservation.
Now we can talk about kids.
All right. Thank you so much for for your time.
Anytime.
And
we'll,
and I'll get those stories out of you later.
Sounds good. Well, hopefully I'll come out. I'll come out to California and can visit in person.
Good, yes. Misty. That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
Well, that was good.
No dirt. Were you nervous, really?
That she might... No, I really wasn't nervous because she really has worse stories
than
I do.
You were the good kid.
That is the key to, if you, you know, in college, always hang out with people
who do worse
things than you do. So later on, they know.
I did that, but then they brought me down.
Yeah. No, actually, we weren't that bad. We worked hard. Johns Hopkins was a hard school, even though I wasn't in the science or pre-med.
Oh, yeah. I don't buy what she said about you just sitting around reading poetry. No, I know you worked very hard. Your degree was in English? What was your?
It was writing, actually. Writing. Yeah, creative writing.
Oh,
yeah.
Neat.
So,
You still write, but it's all nonfiction. Are you writing some fiction? Do you have a book in your drawer somewhere?
In my drawer somewhere. We've discussed that already.
Your novel?
Yeah, but I've got some more in my head. I'm working on it.
Good.
You know, we'll
see. I'd love to read your
fiction. I don't know. The blog, though, is it's so easy. It's the perfect outlet.
Yeah.
Because then I don't have to edit, and I have such a short attention span. That's the problem.
It's also what they tell you. Write what you know.
Right.
And you know that.
Yeah.
Right? So you're
exactly.
writing about stuff you know.
Yeah.
Shall we get some listener mail?
Oh, yes. Let's definitely. This is from Diana. Now, she says, on one of the Twit podcasts, Leo related a story about a librarian disparaging audiobooks.
Yes. This is... If you didn't hear, the librarian, it was at a book group, and the librarian, nobody had read the book except one person who had listened to it on audio, and the librarian said, that's not reading it. That does not count, which kind of surprises me.
Yeah. But she says that she wanted to say, as a librarian, she's been an Audible subscriber as long as you have,
oh,
Leo.
Good. Oh, good.
And she said, we love him at our house and would love your book suggestions.
Isn't that fun? I'm finding that we have a very literate audience, and they love these books.
Yeah. And she recommends a device called PlayAway. Now, I think it's just a device, and you use Audible to download.
Does it work with Audible?
I'm actually, that's what I assumed.
Or it looks like that they sell their own books. I can't tell. Anyway, that's fine.
Yeah. But she says it's great in the school setting. It's a very simplified interface.
That's what you need. You need a very simple thing.
Yeah. And for people who don't have iPods or technophobic, it's a great way to get them completely portable audiobook.
Yeah. Now, I wonder, so they do have some PlayAway books, but see, this is the problem with using a proprietary device, and one of the reasons I kind of like Audible is they're very limited in the number of books they have here.
Mm.
So if you buy a device like the PlayAway, you're going to be stuck with just the books that they offer, it looks like. I'll have to read more closely.
I don't know, yeah. It sounds like it serves Diana's purpose in the library, but
a lot of libraries have audio books as well now. That's the new thing, and maybe this works with those.
Yeah.
We get people complaining about Audible as well. They have copy protection on them, and the library books off not the cassettes, but the ones that you get. Many libraries offer digital downloads now. They also have very extreme copy Windows Media copy protection on them. And I think it's unfortunate, but I guess it's the publishers. It's not.
So you can't burn them on more than one CD, or you.
You know,
can't?
Audible does let you burn a CD.
Yeah.
But the publishers, I guess the publishers feel that's okay because you can't. How many CDs are you going to burn?
Right.
They're more worried about digital distribution. Like you might offer it for download to 100 friends or whatever.
Or you might not be able to burn it on more than one CD.
I'm sure there's some limitations. Yeah. You know, so I agree. I don't like DRM. Nobody likes DRM, and I don't believe it works. But until the publishers get the idea, it's just something we have to live with.
Right.
So, yeah, this looks cool. PlayAway. They do have 475 titles, so that's a lot, but it's not 35,000.
No.
Okay, I'm a little competitive, okay? Anyway, thank you. Diana, I hope you don't think I was slamming librarians in any way. My grandma was a librarian. I love librarians, and that was just one librarian.
No, I think she was pointing out that librarians like audiobooks.
Yes, I know
that's what you were saying, that the librarians
like books
said
of any kind.
Yeah.
In fact, I just wrote the introduction. You may be interested in this to a book for schools and libraries called Podcasting for Schools and Libraries.
Oh.
It's LEO, which is the librarian.
LEO, that's your name.
I know, isn't that funny? It's a librarian group. I don't know what it stands for. But it's written by Linda Braun, and Linda asked me to write the, it's Librarians and Educators Online. That's what it is, LEO. Huh. And she asked me to write the foreword for this.
Huh. Listen Up.
Yeah, it's called Listen Up, and I'm sure it's available everywhere.
On Audible?
No, there's, you know, it's funny. Somebody keeps asking me, I get frequently letters. Why don't you read your books, have audio versions of your books or other technical books? I think computer books aren't very good.
No.
Listening.
No.
My book might have been, but I don't think in general, how to's computer how to, not so good. Yeah. You want to read it. It's a reference work.
That's true.
Anyway, this is published. Let me get the publisher for you so I can help you find it. Information Today, Medford, New Jersey. It's called Listen Up, Podcasting for Schools and Libraries. This actually is a good book. Kind of the basics, everything you need to know. Huh. So I like librarians enough to write the foreword for a book for librarians. That's just how much I like librarians.
Leo loves librarians.
I do love librarians. I do. You know, some of my favorite memories are of going to the Athenaeum in Providence, Rhode Island. It was an old library, a beautiful Greco-Roman building. It's still there. So I think it was a private library. It wasn't very expensive. Beautiful library. And some of my happiest childhood memories are browsing through the stacks there and finding books.
Yeah, I
think libraries get a rough break nowadays.
We go to the library.
You go to the library?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
I can't get my kids to read library books. They want to go to the bookstore, not the library.
Right. Well, it's hard because you can walk to the bookstore in our town, but you have to drive to the library.
Yep. And there are all these bums living there. That's another problem.
We also go to the bookstore and just sit around and read books.
The bookstore is a library, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So just go ahead and do that.
Yeah, my dad ran into Abby in the bookstore the other day. I said, were they reading? He said, they were more just camped out there.
Yeah, they do. I'd say shouldn't do that. But we spend enough at Copperfields. It's our little local bookstore.
Yeah.
Hundreds of dollars a month.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I don't think they mind if we read a little
we
bit.
We always clean up after ourselves
yes.
when we're there, too.
Yes.
We camp out there, too.
Anyway, love librarians. Please don't think I was slamming them, because like I said, my grandmother went to library school. She was a librarian.
Yeah. Here's another letter from Aaron. He says, ever since I switched from Windows to Mac almost a year ago, the then 3-year-olds, now 4, he has twins, girl and boy, have gravitated to the Mac almost instantly. So I'm constantly learning new things about the Mac that they've changed around. and he wanted to recommend some sites that they like. The newest one is PBS Sprouts.
Oh, neat.
SproutOnline.com.
Barney's there. Thomas the Tank Engine. Mm-hmm. Elmo. The whole gang.
And he says his daughter likes starfall.com, which I've also heard other recommendations of Starfall.
It says learn to read at Starfall, so they teach you.
Yeah.
It makes sense that we have CD-ROMs around.
School channel that parents and kids share together.
A college student. This is an interesting site that might be useful to some listeners. I read it ever so often.
Welcome to Sprout
so
Online,
it's
the website
Asian
for
American
Sprout,
your Asian
the first 24-hour preschool
girl.
Destination
it's
available on TV,
daddies.
On demand, and
it's
online.
Rice daddies,
look up here for your favorite Sprout friends, games, crafts, videos, and more. There's even something special for grown-ups. So come on, use your mouse and let's go explore.
Wow.
That's cool.
Cool.
Thanks, Christopher.
Good
always
nights are sprouting.
Lots of neat
just
pictures.
Listening.
Our favorite part of bedtime is getting to spend time
and one
time
more? Do we have time for one
you?
More?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
This is from
Sweet
Sabrina.
Dreams are growing
and,
on the Good Night
she
Show.
She is a mother of
every
twins
good night
currently
on Sprout.
Podcast in LA with Kids and Children's Book Radio. She says LA with Kids was started in January 2006.
Climb into your Let's Go cards and let's hear your beat.
It's a fresh look at
because your new Sprout friends are ready to
go.
Get ready to go with the Let's Go show from 3 o'clock every Sprout afternoon.
Gardens and restaurants, but now I see them through the lens of a parent. In addition to my podcast, my husband Jody and I have created an accompanying website that features an excursion guide.
Oh, that is good. Some audio. Here's a little bit of this is audio from LA with Kids. Or maybe
Sprout,
it's just some
the only 24-hour preschool channel that parents and kids
Sprout.
Share together.
Sorry. Here's some audio from. Wait
that
a minute.
That was Sprout Online.
That was Sprout.
Or maybe that was an ad for Sprout on LA with Kids.
Here's the new podcast. I can't figure out how to play. There's no play button. How do I press? Oh, there's the play button. LA with Kids, Los Angeles podcast.
Thanks for listening. And writing in, Sabrina.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Just ignore Leo. He's
I've
just
never
messing
been
around.
To L.A.
So. You've never been to L.A.?
Oh, yeah. I've been to L.A.
I've never read a book.
I've never been to L.A. with kids is what I'm
saying. Oh, okay.
Now I'm trying to think if that's true, too. No, I've never been. I haven't really spent much time in L.A., though. I'd like to.
It's a lovely city.
Mm-hmm.
City of the angels, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, so we're not listening to any of L.A. with kids.
Are you stalling so I can figure out how to play this? I feel foolish.
No, that's okay.
There's a play button. Wait a minute. Let me play it again. Here. Here's the play button. Hello? Hello? Nothing's happening. Oh, well.
Oh, well. That's all the mail that I have, unfortunately. I mean, there's more mail, but I think we've used up our time.
There it is.
Welcome back to LA with Kids. This is the podcast about what to do and where to go with your kids in Los Angeles. This is podcast number 39 for August 14th, 2007. My name is Sabrina Weisler, and I am the host of LA with Kids, and more importantly, a mother of twins named Madison and Logan, who turned
she's a mother of twins.
Two-year-old
twins. Mm-hmm.
Here's the latest
you.
Update yeah. about my kids.
Same as you. That's yeah. neat. Yeah. LAwithkids.com.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think... Hopefully you've gotten to the end of your workout. Is that what, do you ever listen to podcasts when you're working out?
No, not usually.
Really?
Because I'm focused.
Mm.
Very, very focused.
Yeah.
It's hard when you're lifting, 400 pounds dead weight in a bench press to actually listen to a podcast.
Mm.
You're more listening to your body go.
Well, see, I like to do it because then my body, I can't
you're
hear
running.
My body doing that.
You're running.
Yeah, I lift weights too.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, we've wrapped this thing up and probably gone a little bit, maybe I'd say about 5 minutes too long.
Hmm.
Longer than we should have.
Yeah.
We should have just wrapped it up 5 minutes ago, but that's okay. I can always cut out all that stuff in the middle and it'll make it a short podcast. We'll see you next week, Megan. And who are we going to talk to next week?
Next week, hopefully we are going to speak with
Joan
Blades.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, she's busy, so we're going to try to catch her.
Good. Look forward to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, very exciting.
If you have questions, comments, suggestions, links you'd like to share with the world, megan@twit.tv or megan@jumpingmonkeys.com, either one.
No, megan@jumpingmonkeys.com. I don't check that anymore.
That's full
Sometimes
of spam.
Sometimes you have to give up the email address and move on.
It's full of spam.
Yeah.
So, well, megan@twit.tv is brand new, spanking new, fresh.
Mm-hmm.
No spam yet.
Mm-hmm. That's
that
actually not
long.
True.
Is it already getting spam?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That really stinks. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Oh, well.
Well, I have an excellent spam filter.
Good. What do you use?
I use Gmail.
Oh, yeah. They do a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't want to end, as you can tell, but I have to.
No.
So we thank Audible for their support. Audible.com/monkeys. We thank you for your patronage, and we hope we'll see you next week on Jumping Monkeys!